This evening we commemorate Maundy Thursday. It's very common for pastors to be asked, what does Maundy Thursday mean? And a very simple answer is that the word Maundy is a derivative from the Latin of the word mandatum, mandate. It refers to part of the discussion that Jesus was having with his followers on this evening, right before his crucifixion, where he said, a new mandate or a new command I give you, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. It was also known as the new law or the new command of Christ. That's where the word Maundy Thursday comes from, is the commandment of Jesus to love one another. We will be focusing on that unity in Christ as we consider the Supper of the Lord tonight. One God, one faith, one Savior, and also the symbolism of the one loaf of bread that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So let's take a look at this section where he mentions that in 1 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 14. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? The reason Paul was discussing this is because there were abuses that were happening in the church of Corinth. Many of the pagan worldly kind of party festival atmosphere thoughts and activities of the pagans were being incorporated into the Lord's Supper in Corinth. And Paul is taking the Christians to task and saying, this is a holy meal commemorating the death of Jesus Christ and a participation in the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. It is not to be messed up, and it is not to be involving what Paul calls the activities of demons, the worldliness, the party festival atmosphere that is so corrupt. But the Lord's table is to remain pure and is to focus on the death of our Savior Jesus. So I just want to focus for a second on this word participation that Paul talks about in verse 16. He mentions both the blood and the body of Christ and says, is not the cup a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread a participation in the body of Christ? When he's talking about participation here, it's more than just a remembrance. It's not like a birthday party where you have your birthday cake and you recall the past event. And you say, oh yes, we were born X number of years ago, and isn't that wonderful? This is a stronger sense, and it comes from the Hebrew background, from the Jewish background, where in the Passover, because you remember Jesus was eating the Passover meal this evening with his disciples. The command in the Passover was this for this to be done year after year as a participation in that initial event, that the people were to remember how the Lord had freed the Israelites from Egypt. One thing that's very interesting in the Jewish community, there is a sense of timelessness to the persons of God, the people of God. The people that live today feel themselves connected, and they refer to their ancestors, not just those people that lived 2,000 years ago, but to our forefathers. And there's even discussion like that in the New Testament, even though it was hundreds of years before, our forefathers. When we say our forefathers, we might think, well, two or three generations. They're thinking 10, 12 generations ago. There is a continuance that is involved. And that's part of the thought regarding the Lord's Supper when it says there is a participation in the body of Christ, in the blood of Christ. We, by participating in this, are linked to the event. Just as the Jews who participated in the Passover considered themselves linked to that event and the beneficiaries of the freeing of the Jews from Egypt. And so also we should feel that we are linked to the suffering of Christ on the cross and the beneficiaries of his freeing us from the dominance of Satan, sin, and death. That's the first thing. The second thing I want to talk about is this admonition of Paul in verse 14, where he says, "Flee from idolatry." And then later in verse 18 and following, he discusses that participation in offerings offered to demons and things like that. There was a tremendous amount of corruption and immorality. I wanted to say immortality. Immorality in Corinth. There were numerous opportunities for people to go astray. The city was saturated with temples to pagan deities. Apollo, Demeter, Aphrodite, and there were temple prostitutes that were readily available. So there was a constant lurement, a constant temptation to sexual indulgence and to religious waywardness. And Paul is telling them, you cannot be commingling the holiness, the sacredness of Christ, and the worldliness, the sensuality, and the fleshliness of the society. He is trying to teach the Corinthians that this meal is for holy people because it represents the holy Savior Jesus. And so the admonition is that the people who come to this meal are living holy lives, that we're not going out and just pleasing our fleshly appetite, our worldly thoughts and desires, but that we are combating them and that we are, as Paul says, putting them to death, so that the new person can come forth. So when we come to the table of the Lord, we have to come in repentance and we have to come with a humble spirit, not with an arrogant mindset that says, well, I'm going to conduct myself whatever way I want in the world, and then when I come here, I'll act pious and I'll just participate to get the benefits. The idea is that we come to the table repentant and seeking to live a holy life as Christ our Savior is holy and gives us this holy meal. And then one last emphasis here is the unity. And this is one of the beautiful aspects of the Lord's Supper. Paul uses the illustration of the one loaf and saying we are one body. It's a very powerful, very strong illustration. We are going to be using that again tonight. As you see, we have a couple of loaves of bread. The unity, the solidarity of the loaf, of course, is symbolic of the unity of the church, one body in Christ, all right? We were going to go for a giant loaf of bread, and they only had little loaves of bread, so we wanted to make sure we had enough, so we had to get two tonight. But the symbol of unity is unmistakable. Just as the early church would share in the bread together, we will share in the bread tonight. This will be a sharing in the body of Christ. Sharing in the cup will be a sharing in the blood of Christ. This is not just symbolism. This is God distributing the benefits of Christ's suffering and death to us through this meal. When we receive the Lord's Supper, we are literally receiving spiritually the body and blood of Christ, the powerful antidote for sin, the strengthening of our spirit so that we can live according to God's will. So this is what's happening, and it's all symbolic of the unity. One God and Creator, one Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for us and redeemed us, one Spirit who brings us to faith in Christ, and then one congregation, one body of Christ that are united together in faith. This is what we are celebrating tonight, our Savior Jesus, who would give himself into death, and the fact that we've been brought into this kingdom and are part of this body. Amen.